Well, hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us at the Crossing Church Online. My name is Pastor Tony, and I'm so glad that you decided to tune in today. And my prayer is that you will have a meaningful encounter with Jesus. Now, I'm going to need your help as we get started here. I know I can't hear you, but I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to finish off these old sayings if you know them. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Many hands make light work. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. There's a time and a place for everything, right? And then maybe my favorite, I don't get mad, I get even. Right, now some of these sayings might ring a little hollow to you, and others might seem just as poignant today as they did back when they were first written down, but I really want to zero in on that last one that I shared. I don't get mad, I get even. It's an interesting saying, isn't it, right? It implies that I'm not going to waste my time and give you the satisfaction of being angry with you. Instead, I'm going to even the score. I'm going to make sure that you have to suffer the same injustice as I did. And that is going to be the exact issue that Jesus is going to be teaching us on today. Now, if you were here a few weeks back, you heard Pastor Scott talk about Jesus' radical teaching about the Old Testament law on murder. And Scott said in that message that there was more than one way to murder someone. And he described that Jesus told us to look beyond the letter of the law to simply not murder, and said that in order to actually love others well, it meant that even when we are hurt, right, and we experience injustice, our response could not be hate, right, or to have anger in our heart towards others. And Jesus confirmed that if we do hate, we are just as guilty of breaking the law against murder. It's pretty radical stuff, isn't it? Well, today, we are going to look at the practical yet revolutionary way of how Jesus wants us to respond to injustice. See, the saying, I don't get mad, I get even, it really does point directly toward this issue that Jesus is going to be addressing today. The truth of the matter is that getting even with someone or settling the score, it just feels right, doesn't it? It's church, right? I know we're not sitting in front of each other, but it's church, so we can be honest, can't we? If someone flips you the bird in traffic, what do they deserve? One right back, right? If someone runs a red light in front of you, they cut you off or they turn without signaling, is there anything that feels better than seeing a police officer flip their lights on and pull that selfish person over? If your spouse yells at you, calls you names, or makes you feel terrible about yourself, isn't it only fair that you get to return the favor and give them a dose of their own medicine? If someone embarrasses you, shouldn't they have to experience the same kind of embarrassment as you? If someone hurts you, or even worse, the ones that you love and protect, shouldn't they have to experience the same kind of pain that they caused you? Let's be honest. If you're reading a book or you're watching a movie, right, after seeing bad guys get away with hurting innocent people and inflicting all kinds of pain and injustice, is there anything better than getting to the ending when the bad guys finally get what's coming to them, right? We demand justice. And see, this eye for an eye approach to injustice, it's been around for as long as people have demanded justice. But then, wait a second. Yep, here comes Jesus once again throwing a wrench in our ideas of what we think is right. See, today, Jesus is going to rock our world, and he's going to teach us that the intent, right, the purpose of the Old Testament laws concerning retribution, revenge, and justice, they call us to a much greater level of righteousness than we could ever imagine. So today, Jesus is going to instruct us that in his upside-down kingdom, we can radically love others when we display creative, nonviolent resistance. I want you to be reflecting on that throughout the message here. You do right by others when you display creative, nonviolent resistance. Now, at face value, it may sound like a weak response to injustice, but let's dive in and let's see what Jesus has to say to us, okay? Now, as we have been for the past few months, or past couple of months, we're still going to be in the Gospel of Matthew here, the first book of the New Testament in your Bible. The words are going to be on the screen so you can follow along, and we will be looking at verses 38 through 42 today. So let's read through the whole passage, and then we will break it down afterwards. So it says, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you're sued in court and your shirt gets taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. All right, so let's unpack this rich teaching, because there are actually some amazing, nuanced, contextual details in this passage that are really easy for us to miss. But Jesus' original audience, they would have picked up on them. And the thing is, understanding these details, it will open up this radical teaching in ways that you've never imagined. Okay, so now as we've seen over the past several weeks, if you've been with us, Jesus is going to continue to use the same "you have heard the law that says" language to detail the letter of the law that he's teaching on. Now, in this case, there are actual multiple examples of judicial laws in the Torah governing things on justice and retribution, revenge, right, recompense. But the main law that Jesus is referencing here is found in Exodus 21. And we can read, "But if there's further injury, the punishment must match the injury. A life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, a burn for a burn, a wound for a wound, and a bruise for a bruise." So, a few things here. This idea of lex talionis, right, or an eye for an eye, it was an idea that was written into multiple ancient civilizations' law codes to keep the peace, all right? Its original purpose was really about setting limits on how people could legally respond to injustice. It was a protection in place so that if you killed my goat, I was not allowed to legally take revenge by killing your entire herd, right? If you punched me, right, and I went into a fit of rage, I couldn't kill you and then claim it was simply justice being served, right? See, the laws were written so that people were only able to seek a level of retribution or revenge that was equal to the injustice that they incurred, right? Now, in reality, these laws were almost never applied literally, okay? If you burned me, the law did not require me to literally burn you back, right? If you cut off my hand and I couldn't work, I didn't literally hold you down and cut off your hand, but the law did allow for me to seek justice of the same kind. So if I could no longer work, you'd have to pay for my lost wages, right? And the thing is, it's very similar to what we still do in our modern judicial system. We compensate people to the level that matches their injuries. Now, I do want to say this as a quick disclaimer. As we move on and we get into the nitty-gritty of Jesus' radical teachings, I want you to know that Jesus is talking about our individual response to the injustices that we see as citizens in the kingdom of God, okay? He's not making political or prescriptive statements regarding public policy and punishments, right? Christians have different perspectives and beliefs on capital punishment and other issues like that. And while those are worthwhile issues to consider, we're not talking about public policy today, okay? Instead, Jesus will be calling you to respond to evil and injustice through creative, nonviolent resistance. So, we know the letter of the law, right? The eye for an eye approach was used to limit our revenge, all right, our justice to the same level of injustice that we suffered. But that wasn't the purpose of the law. And so now Jesus is going to tell us what the purpose of the law is and how we should respond to people that hurt us. So Jesus tells us in verse 39, "But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow." So Jesus starts by telling us to not resist an evil person. Now, first glance, it just doesn't sound right, does it? Do not resist an evil person? I mean, what the heck's going on here? Well, it actually seems that Jesus is actually making a little bit of a pun here. See, the original Greek word that's used here for to not resist is this word antisthenai. Now, this word is actually a Greek military term that describes strongly opposing someone in the same way they're opposing you, right? So in a war, both sides, they fight against each other in the same way and with the same level of resistance, right? You hit us with tanks, we hit you with tanks. You hit us with jets, we hit you with jets. Bombs, bombs, right? But what Jesus is telling us is that we should not resist or oppose our enemies in the same way that they are opposed or hurting us. See, Jesus wants us to understand that we cannot find justice for an injustice by way of more injustice, right? We cannot find good when we repay evil with evil. Responding with evil and injustice, it never produces healing, restoration, or true justice. The Apostle Paul reminds the church in Thessalonica of this truth when he says, "See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people." Now, with that said, you need to hear me clearly. Jesus is not telling us that we should be punching bags or do nothing in the face of injustice. All right, do you hear me? We are absolutely not told to remain passive to abuse, evil, and injustice. In fact, we are actually called to boldly stand against evil and injustice by displaying creative, nonviolent resistance. And how do we know this? Well, because Jesus gives us three amazing examples of creative, nonviolent resistance here. And we're going to look at each of these mind-blowing examples individually. So, we're going to start back at the end of verse 39. And we read here, "If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also." Slapping's kind of an interesting gesture, isn't it? Have you ever really been slapped before? It's weird. Now, the thing is, if you're not aware, one of the fastest growing sports in the world right now is extreme slapping, right? It's just power slapping. People take turns slapping each other until someone either passes out or gives up. It looks like a lot of fun, doesn't it? Yeah, I don't know. I think those big beards give it a little bit of an unfair advantage, but I digress. Here's the thing. If you were actually trying to hurt someone, would you slap them or would you punch them? Right. Yeah, you'd punch them. See, you get slapped today for the same reason that you would get slapped back in the first century, right? If someone slaps you, their intention isn't to try and inflict a ton of pain. Instead, they would be trying to shame or embarrass you. And I'm guessing if someone slapped you, your first response would likely to be what? Slap them back, right? So, what in the world is Jesus talking about here when he tells you to turn the other cheek? Right? How exactly is that displaying creative, nonviolent resistance? On the surface, it seems like he's telling you to just be a punching bag, right? To let someone continue to abuse you. Well, this is why I said earlier that the details matter in this teaching. See, Jesus says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Think about it for a second. How would I have to slap you in order to hit you on your right cheek, right? See, when I slap you with my right hand on the right cheek, it would actually be the back of my hand, correct? And here's the thing. In the first century, the only time that you'd be slapping someone with the back of your hand was when you wanted to communicate that they were beneath you, okay? It was a way to assert your dominance and power over someone. It added insult to injury. But slapping you with the back of my hand, right? It wasn't even just about shaming you. It was about minimizing you. It was me communicating to you and everybody watching that you are beneath me in power, dignity, and social stature. So, with that detail in mind, now picture how Jesus is telling you to display creative, nonviolent resistance in this situation, right? Instead of slapping me back, which would be the letter of the law, right? An eye for an eye, or passively just walking away in shame, he tells you to offer me the other cheek. So, I already slapped you this way. Now, if you're offering me the other cheek, that means I would have to slap you on your left side. That would be an open palm, right? Well, that kind of slap, that was reserved for people that I consider to be my equal in power, in dignity, and in stature. See, if I slap you on that side, I would be admitting to you and everybody watching that you are my equal. Do you see that? At its core, turning the other cheek is actually an act of radical humility. You see how powerful this is, right? It's you saying, "I'll let you slap me again if you really want to, but you're going to have to do it as an equal," right? It's about forcing me to have to consider why I think you're beneath me. it forces me to have to consider what is going on in my heart that makes me think you are less valuable than me. See, this kind of creative nonviolent resistance, it says not only do I want freedom from this evil, but I want you to learn something about yourself and find freedom as well. I hope you're with me so far. So let's jump to the next example here. All right, we're going to be in verse 40. And Jesus says, if you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. All right, we're going to need another little history lesson here. Now, in the first century, there really wasn't much of a middle class, right? And people, they had almost next to nothing, almost everyone. In fact, unless you were wealthy, you most likely had one shirt, which they called a tunic, and one coat. The shirt was the undergarment, and the coat was the valuable garment that you wore on the outside, okay? The coat was so valuable to a person at this time that there were actually Old Testament laws about them. We can actually see in Exodus 22 that it says, if you take your neighbor's cloak as security for a loan, you must return it before sunset. This coat may be the only blanket your neighbor has. How can a person sleep without it? If you do not return it and your neighbor cries out to me for help, then I will hear, for I am merciful. So we can conclude then from this, all right, that the coat, it was certainly the most valuable piece of clothing, maybe one of the most valuable things that you owned as a person in the first century. So with that, let's go back and let's put ourselves in this example, all right? So someone is suing you for your shirt, which for all intents and purposes is your underwear, right? So if someone took your shirt from you, you're basically naked under this coat that you have. So now think about this. Picture how Jesus calls you to display creative nonviolent resistance in this situation. Someone is unjustly sues you, and they're so vindictive and petty that they take your shirt, right? Which, like I said, equates to someone suing you for your underwear, right? And you only have one pair. And now Jesus is telling you, don't stop there. Creatively resist by giving them your coat as well. Are you tracking here? Can you picture this scene? You and the person suing you, you're standing there, right? Surrounded by people, and you're forced to give this person the only pair of underwear you own. But instead of getting angry, instead of walking away after this great shame and injustice, you take off your coat and you hand them the most valuable thing you own. All while you're just standing there in your birthday suit. Are you a punching bag here? Does this seem passive in any way to you? Of course not, right? Jesus is telling you to do something that would cause a big old scene, right? You're putting the injustice on display for all to see. See, at its core, this is an act of radical generosity, right? It's telling the person, if you are in such a bad spot that you need to sue me for my underwear, I think you need my coat more than I do, right? It's an example of powerful nonviolent resistance that forces the other person to consider what is going on in their head and in their heart that they would be so unjust with you. This radical generosity is a shocking and powerful way to communicate, not only do I want freedom from this injustice, I want you to find healing and be free from whatever is going on inside of you that would cause you to treat me this way. This is some radical stuff, isn't it? All right, so let's look at Jesus's third and final example of creative nonviolent resistance. We're going to be jumping to verse 41. And we read this. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Now, in the first century Roman Empire, right, there were laws written that said a Roman soldier could force a person to carry their gear up to various distances. But the key word here is force, right? Can you imagine? You're in the first century. You're hanging out with your family, having a picnic lunch, maybe playing some lawn games with your kids. A soldier walks by, makes you stop what you're doing, and then forces you to carry his 90 pounds worth of gear for him without telling you how far, right? It's an injustice in the way that you have no power to question why, and you're in no position to object to his demands. So how does Jesus tell his audience to display creative nonviolent resistance in this situation? He tells them to go beyond what they are compelled to do and instead go the extra mile. I mean, think about this. This is something that stayed with us. It's such a common saying, right? We still use it today to describe someone that goes above and beyond expectations, right? They went the extra mile. And see, at its core, Going the extra mile is an act of radical hospitality. And let me ask you this. Who do we normally offer hospitality to in the first place? It's people we care about, right? People we want to feel welcomed and loved. Think about this. You buy a new house and it's time to move. Can you ask just anyone to help you out? Not usually, right? Someone has to be willing to suffer the injustice of moving your ridiculously heavy sectional and washing machine. And it normally has to be someone that is willing to show you radical hospitality because they care about you. And they love you. Now, in the example that Jesus gives, here you have someone that isn't simply asking you to show hospitality. They are shaming you and they are forcing you to do something that you obviously had no intention of doing. But instead of fighting back, becoming angry, or quietly building up contempt in your heart for this person, you decide to show genuine love and care for them through radical hospitality. You make space for them and their needs ahead of your own. See, you allow yourself to suffer in order to expose the injustice and create room for reconciliation in your heart and in theirs. See, this display of creative nonviolent resistance, it communicates, I'm offering you a chance to change the way you see me and then to reconsider who you really are inside. See, an eye for an eye approach to injustice is self-focused. Revenge is self-seeking. It is about you getting back what you think is owed to you. It's about you trying to feel better about an injustice by repaying evil with more evil. And it simply doesn't work. Paying back injustice with more injustice doesn't point your oppressor toward the heart of God. And it doesn't accomplish the command for us to love God and to love others as ourselves. Think about the three examples of creative nonviolent resistance that Jesus just gave us. What do they all have in common? They are others-focused. They all create a situation that forces the person committing the injustice to have to look within themselves, right? To come face-to-face with who they really are and what's really going on in their heart. See, an eye-for-an-eye approach to injustice, it gives someone exactly what they deserve. Well, the creative nonviolent resistance approach offers someone exactly what they don't deserve. So the Apostle Paul acknowledges a little bit later on here in the New Testament our desire for an eye for an eye approach to injustice, but he also shares the amazing thing that happens when we choose to display creative nonviolent resistance instead. He says this in his letter to the Romans in chapter 12. He says, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, 'I will take revenge. I will pay them back,' says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." Do you see that? Responding to injustice in this way will force your oppressor to look at what is really going on in their heart, in their mind. You see, we do right by others when we compel them to look within. Because that is where the Holy Spirit can reach them, speak to them, and offer them healing and forgiveness. So the question becomes, how do we practically display creative nonviolence in our lives, right? We don't have necessarily all those same things going on. Well, in a world filled with all kinds of political and social unrest and violence, I think it might be helpful for us to look at one of the more recent examples of a man that called people to display creative nonviolent resistance when an eye-for-an-eye response seemed more than justified. When Martin Luther King Jr. was fighting for racial equality, many black people had no justice, no power, and they were afforded no dignity. Martin Luther King Jr. could have easily called people to respond to the injustice with an eye-for-an-eye approach, right, and to stand up to physical abuse with physical resistance. He could have rallied people to take back what was rightfully theirs by any means necessary. But he didn't. In Selma, he led thousands of people in creative, nonviolent resistance in the face of evil and injustice. They didn't physically fight back, nor did they back down. See, during the protest marches, they stood in peaceful resistance to injustice, one step at a time, as they were mocked, belittled, and beaten. Through creative nonviolent resistance, their oppressors were forced to come face to face with their unjust beliefs and actions. And the American people watched in horror as the violence played out on television. Now, of course, hate remained in the heart of some people. It still remains. But for many others, God was able to reveal the truth in love, and hearts were changed. And not only were individual hearts changed, but entire systems built on hate were changed, all to the glory of God. See, Martin Luther King Jr. was convinced that the call of Jesus to creative nonviolent resistance was the only way to find freedom and wholeness. See, instead of meeting hate and violence with more hate and violence, he said this: returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Hate multiplies hate, violence multiplies violence, and toughness multiplies toughness in a descending spiral of destruction. So when Jesus says, love your enemies, he is setting forth a profound and ultimately inescapable admonition. Have we not come to such an impasse in the modern world that we must love our enemies or else? The chain reaction of evil, hate begetting hate, wars producing wars, must be broken, or we shall be plunged into the dark abyss of annihilation. See, he stood face to face with his oppressors, but he didn't pursue an eye for an eye type of justice. He didn't meet their hate with more hate. Instead, he met hate with radical love. And in doing so, he forced people to look at their own hearts and reckon with the hate and evil residing within. Today, my friends, I want us to be like that. I want you to be brave and courageous enough to stand up to your oppressors through creative nonviolent resistance and show them the radical love of Jesus. Say to your enemies, you shamed and you hurt me, but instead of getting my revenge, I am going to offer you the same thing that Jesus offered me: love, forgiveness, and grace. Let me give you a practical example for our day and age, right, of how you can display radical nonviolent resistance in little ways. Next time you're standing in line at a busy Chick-fil-A, right, you're tired, you're running late, you're hangry, and someone acts like they don't see you, and they just jump the line, right? They cut right in front of you. Instead of getting angry, saying some snide, passive-aggressive comment, or just ignoring them, pay for their food. Talk about heaping burning coals on someone's head, right? Now I'm not talking, just like Jesus, I'm not talking about doing something generous while actually thinking poorly of them, right? These acts are not some passive-aggressive actions we take to stick it to someone. No. This is an actual others-focused way of responding to injustice. See, by showing them radical generosity, you're communicating to that person, you know, if you're in such a bad spot that you need to ignore me, unjustly cut in front of me, and just think of yourself as more important by ordering before me, then you must be really hungry, my friend. So let me get that for you. See, it forces them to have to look at their own heart and motivation for devaluing you. And you get to be a reflection to them of the grace and forgiveness that Jesus Christ has given you. Because here's the truth. At one time or another, you were living in disobedience to God's law, and you chose to hurt others with your thoughts, words, and actions. But instead of leaving you stuck in your own mess, Jesus, full of radical love, spread his arms open wide for you and paved the way for your salvation through his ultimate display of creative nonviolent resistance on the cross. Now he calls you to the same embodiment of his radical love to show others. So what's your next step today? All right, what do you do with this? Well, first, recognize the only way that we can learn to display creative nonviolent resistance is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we must receive Jesus' gift of forgiveness and salvation. If you haven't done that yet, make today the best day of your life and accept that salvation. Now, if you've made that decision today, you're gonna make that decision make sure and fill out a Connect card on our website and let us know that you accepted Jesus' gift of salvation. Or if you have questions, please shoot those to us as well. We'd love to reach out to you. Secondly, spend time this week in prayer, right? Listening to the Holy Spirit and discovering ways that you can display creative nonviolent resistance in your relationships, in your workplace, with the people you share the road with the difficult people you encounter during the week, maybe in your marriage. Whenever and wherever you see or experience injustice, if your first thought is to pay them back with an eye for an eye, stop, pray, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal a way for you to creatively resist and force your oppressor to have to look within. And then pray that they respond to the same radical grace, forgiveness, and love that Jesus Christ has given you. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We pray we are not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Let us become people that display creative, nonviolent resistance in the face of injustice. Father, we cannot do it on our own. It is only possible through the power of your Holy Spirit. So we ask for you to work on our hearts this week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.